Well, here we are. The end of the series. The end of March of the Dead. How y'all feeling?
I'm gonna miss you guys.
Yep, end of Jed. Thank God. Loser.
Jed, hold on. Jed, we kind of miss you, too. We'll kind of miss you, too.
Oh,
yeah. Oh. It really brings me back to, you know, our days of doing like the YouTube stuff when we used to have the streaming, you know, mm-hmm. I think that was on Twitch. Those were some really fun times. It's just nice to have, you know, Jed back in a player seat with the gang. I mean, it would be even better if it was the whole gang, you know, John here. So shout out to my boy, John, if you're listening. We're getting back at Age of Ashes. It's coming right back, boys. Honestly, the most ideal is when we're all together. But I have enjoyed this brief sojourn into the March of the Dead.
Yeah. I don't know if I said this, but I asked John if he has listened to it, because I think I was like, I started talking about it. I was like, oh, have you like listened to it? And he was like, I don't listen to anything without me in it. And I was like, well,
all right. So Tim, he's not going to hear that.
He's not going to hear that. Yeah.
He's not going to hear that.
No, I got to say too, stepping out from behind the GM screen. Like I'm a forever GM, you know, and like to be able to like step out sometimes and just like, oh man, I get to like, flex, you know, like some of my like my PC building and stuff like that. That's been fun.
I like PC.
I would love to look at the numbers, Jake, because I think I have played more with you as a player than I have as you as a GM. Because if you count all the Starfinder campaign we ran, that was like 2 years worth of gaming where you were a player.
I was just a player, yeah. Something else that's really funny is as we're like investigating and everything like that, I have clearly been a GM for too long because I was just like, why can't I just figure it out? And it's because I'm not reading the fucking book that has all the answers in it. And I was like, I need to be a player more often because I need to.
What's wrong with me? Normally I know these things.
Right. Normally I know everything.
What's the motivation?
What the fuck is going on? Oh, I'm not supposed to know. Right. Okay.
Honestly, my favorite part so far was you trying to track down the child around the building.
Oh yeah.
That moment was so much fun.
It's like, how do I not pursue at least a little bit?
Yep, it was great. I just loved it. I loved the anxiety, the like,
yeah.
What is it? It was great. Fun time. So, got thinking about endings, and it made me think of some of my favorite movie endings. I've been back into movies lately, and coming up on our final episode here, I was like thinking about some of my favorite movie endings, and I'll rattle off a few. Of one that I just absolutely love. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I don't know if you all have seen that, but great classic movie. I really like The Truman Show. The Truman Show has a great ending.
Fantastic movie.
Fantastic ending. David Fincher is legendary at endings. So I go to like Fight Club and Seven. Two just incredible endings, just heart wrenching. I'm about to go see Frankenstein tomorrow, and I'm excited to see that movie because Guillermo del Toro always has great movie endings. Pan's Labyrinth, oh god! I mean, Pan's Labyrinth is probably my favorite movie of all time. If I had to pick any movie, and that movie is just so tragic.
Yeah,
always wonderful too, because you're just like Labyrinth, like okay, cool, like you had David Bowie, you know,
right.
Labyrinth, and then it's like Pan's Labyrinth. Yeah, it's a kids' movie, right? And you're like, oh fuck, no, it's not. Yeah. No,
nope.
You know, I never actually saw Labyrinth with David Bowie. I know, like Rebecca has, I think, but I've never actually watched that movie for as much as I've had it.
Can
referenced.
We stop right now when you come over to my house and we watch it?
I know, weird.
Watch party. It's like a weird. Let's go.
It's just a weird bucket list movie. I've never gotten around to watching. I just know about it.
That is such a delightful film. That also it's a Jim Henson, you know, because he knows all the puppeteer work, and it's got Jim Henson's name on it. It speaks. So, I'm gonna show a bit of my weeb side here, okay? Because when I think of great endings, I think of Eureka 7. Eureka 7 is the story about a kid named Renton Thurston, who his father was like a military guy, and he ends up moving in with his grandfather. He joins up with this gang of rebels, and there's like aliens and stuff, and like, so there's this like mech thing where they surf in the air. There's this whole mech thing, right? And there's like this military, there's like this classic anime tropes in this, right? And the ending reassures you that this was a love story the entire time. It has brought me to tears so many times, just the love flowing from this series. It's just so good. And I think it's only like a 53 episode. It's like a regular run of an anime. Please go watch Eureka 7. Please cry with me at the end of this, because it will fulfill you as a person. It's that good. But yeah, that's one of mine. The music gets me. The music is a big part of it too. It's just great. Mm.
Good score to end a movie. A good yeah. score matters almost more than anything when watching movies or shows.
Yeah.
And yeah, especially with the ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, so kicking it off to the non-watcher of things, I'm going to have to go with Amori. Amori, incredible, incredible ending. And then for my second choice, it would have to be You Shouldn't Be Here. Just both heart-wrenching, both incredible, and they're both indie video games.
I recognized Amori. I was like, I think that's a video game.
Yep. But it is a story being told, and sure. it is a moving picture.
I meant to actually include video games in it, because there are some video games that have some really good endings.
Amori is one of those. What was that? Sorry.
I played Final Fantasy growing up, and a lot of those games had really good stories and really good endings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah, Amori, it's one of those where you have, like, two paths that you can take, and both the endings are brutal in their own right. And then You Shouldn't Be Here is a visual novel, technically, but it tells just a super depressing, tragic story that is just interweaving with, like, psychedelic hallucinations, which is... it's wild. Mm. Like, once you kind of figure out what's going on, and then the end is just a knife to the gut.
Oh, dude, You Shouldn't Be Here looks fucking cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that looks awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
That artwork is really, really nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man, one that I think you guys will relate to, even though it's not technically canon, I thought Dragon Ball GT's ending was the best ending of any of the Dragon Ball series. Dragon Ball GT's ending was amazing.
GT, as a whole, was awful, but has the best ending of any Dragon Ball property, for sure, yes.
You know what? They finished strong, right?
Even if you start 10 out of 10.
GT was up and down. There were great parts of GT, and then there were just awful parts of GT.
Yeah.
I think I remember watching clips of GT and seeing Oob and being like, what?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? It's who? No, I'm done. I don't want to watch that.
GT's not that bad.
I didn't watch much of it. Like I said, I saw that and I just never tried. So
the problem is the first like 10 to 15 episodes are like, they try to go back to like Dragon Ball-esque adventure. But can't execute it correctly because it's a space odyssey and it just doesn't work. And then they hard pivot back to Z and they have some good ideas with poor execution.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Super 17. That was Super 17 was a great idea with poor execution.
Yeah. I mean, Baby was a great idea.
Baby was good. I like Baby.
Yeah.
Super Saiyan 4 was obviously amazing. Super Saiyan
4. Yep, exactly. It's good. It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just there was just some weird execution and just doesn't meet the peaks of Dragon Ball Z. And just, you know.
The ending is beautiful. I liked the cost of using the Dragon Balls as a story.
Yes, that was a very cool idea.
That was a very fun one, because it went back to like old Kai in Dragon Ball Z saying you can't keep relying on these things to like get you out of your problems.
And I liked that each shadow dragon they had to fight was a wish.
Yeah,
my wish was this, my wish was that, you know. And then they had to.
Wasn't one of them Oolong's underpants from Dragon Ball?
Yep.
Yeah, that was the one where she's like, I don't want to say what the wish was. And they're like, wait, what was she? It was for underwear.
The very first wish.
The fuck out. Yeah. Okay. Now, does everyone subscribe to the fact that Goku dies at the end of GT? Because I subscribe to that.
I thought he just, like, was alive, but he just kind of went away. Like, he ascended with the dragon.
He ascends with the dragon, but when he does, he leaves. There's a tattered gi that's just left there, and they're like, wait, what? Where did this come from? And it's like, oh, he's dead.
He's naked!
Let's see. For endings, I was trying to think of a couple, but the one that comes to mind, just because I recently just watched again, was Silence of the Lambs. Mm. Ending in particular, like, it kind of, you know, back and forth with everything that goes on throughout the movie. But Sir Anthony Hopkins, again, his performance, amazing. But it's just, like, at the end, it's, like, the celebrations going on at the FBI. They're like, all right, we got the guy, all that stuff. And then it's just the phone call comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, like, after Lambs, classic. Stop crying, Clarice. And just him disappearing into the crowd at the end. I'm just, mm-hmm. With the line of, I'm having an old friend for dinner. And then he just disappears.
Oh, that's God, yeah. So good.
Because he just, and it, like, the how it pans out too is just him walking into, like, that I forget which island it was. He's basically in a tropical island.
Yeah, he was in, like, the Caribbean, like, or something.
Yeah. And it's just him walking and the camera pans out and you just lose track of him. Mm-hmm. So he's just, like, gone to the wind.
Great final shot.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that movie could ever be done with anybody else than Anthony Hopkins.
He did such a good job.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Some movies are perfect just as they are.
Yep.
I think... Oh, sorry, you got another one? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to do a second one because it came to mind was the Invasion of the Body Snatchers ending as well. Where she's like, you know, what's her face? Veronica Cartwright, I believe. That is just like at the end and then just see the guy. It's the typical thing of the gif that's usually seen of the guy pointing and just screeching, like, you think everything's done, and then just like, nope. The nightmare is still here. God, fantastic movie. God, what was it, 70s, I think, that was made?
Yep.
But that was the second one.
For me, there's a specific TV show I've watched recently that I think will just never pop out of my head. It's just stuck there forever, and it's actually Star Wars. And I think this show is probably the best thing Star Wars has produced since the original trilogy, which is the Andor TV series, which everyone counted out when it came out. But I'm telling you right now, the last few episodes of this show, Tony Gilroy pulls together all the strands he's been laying the entire series. Mm-hmm. And ties them in a wonderful bow. And I could go on about each and every strand, but one of my favorites is in season one, like early in season one, Andor encounters this political idealist who is constantly recording into like a data pad, a manifesto about liberty and freedom, and how it is natural and that people strive for freedom. And that everybody has to do is try. And it kind of goes, you don't really pay attention to it in the first season. It's just kind of, it happens, he gives it to Andor, and there's really not much else discussed about it. But at the same time this is happening, there's a scene with an Imperial, it's essentially the Imperial Deep State. FSB, I think is what it's called. It's like the ISB. Security Bureau. ISB, that's it, thank you.
Yeah.
ISB. And it's the security bureau, and the guy has a long speech about we are antibodies for the Empire, and we fight infection. And at the end of the move, in the last episode, there's a scene where he's sitting at a table, and he's looking at a transcript for that manifesto, and he just goes, "It just keeps spreading, and we can't stop it." And you realize that the Empire is starting to crumble. And they can't stop it. And then it pans out slowly. There's two guards in the hallway, and you just hear a blaster shot. And that's the shit. It's just like, it's dark, but damn, I love how they pulled that. Like, it's just such a small thing from season one, but it has a through line all the way through to the very last episode. And I adore that show. And that's just one of many awesome through lines that get wrapped up in a nice bow. And I think it's a lost art of having a show that only goes a season or two or three and then goes, okay, we're done. We're not going to keep renewing and drag this out. We have a set ending. This is how it ends, and all the arcs wrap up neatly, and we're done here, you know, which I love. And I think it was supposed to go for a couple more seasons, but they asked them to wrap it up in one, and I think it honestly helped. So
no, it was perfect. It was the perfect length.
I love that show. Yeah.
What we forgot to say, because I didn't say it because I thought Jake was probably going to say it.
What's that?
Lord of the Rings.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Return of the King.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah,
so many good moments.
That one makes me cry too. Even the beginning or even the end of Fellowship is really good. When it's just like, when Sam and Frodo are just like, I'm glad I'm here with you too, and like mm-hmm. you know that they're going off on like you know well you know what they're gonna go do. You know the story, and it's just like for them to just like end the first movie with that. Oh man, yeah, that's good.
I mean, we could talk.
It's still so crazy that Frodo never learned Legolas's name, though.
Wild. That's one of my favorite bits. That's one of my favorites. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, what did he say? And my bow. That's it.
Yeah, yeah, I think canonically, he says that, and then he says one thing with Frodo in the room, and I think that's the only time that Legolas talks to him. And even the second one is not like directly at Frodo. He just happens to be talking in the room.
And then King Frodo's like, Sam, Merry Pippin. Legolas kind of appears in the doorway. Frodo just goes, uh-huh.
You.
Elf.
Right.
Oh, I love that.
Well, let's tie a bow around this thing. Because you guys are still in a fight. And the zombie lord, Harlow Krant, has just emerged from the doorway to the north.
It's battle time.
What a dick.
Boom.
Yep. So, let's see. What is he gonna do? What do I want him to do?
Oh, wait, it's his turn now?
It's his turn.
Harlow's? Or the Skelly Warrior?
It is Harlow Krant's turn.
He took an action to walk out, so yeah. That's one action.
There we go, yeah. One.
Opening a door is one action, walking is an action. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Alright.
Kill it and give a shit.
I don't like that measuring tape that you're putting on the screen there. I don't like that measuring tape.
Are we in a juicy line right now?
Perfect line for a lightning bolt.
That's a juicy line.
That is a juicy line.
And he opens his mouth. And it was
Kezra
the whole time.
That's Kezra. This is Kezra retired to this town, right? He became a fat merchant. He died. And he got resurrected.
He died.
Assumed the name Harlow, you know?
He reaches out his hand, and dark necrotic energy reaches out at Theron. He casts harm. Roll a fortitude save.
That's my best save, boyo. 29.
Ha! Ha.
29, you say.
Yo!
18 on the die.
Let's go.
And if this is coming from an undead, that'll be a crit success.
Oh!
Well, that's a crit success.
You Death fool. Warden, bitch!
Yeah!
He like looks at his hand and he's like, that's his turn. Now it is the skeleton champion's turn near Corbinian.
Well, we're worried about these guys.
And he is going to take some swipes with his long sword. First strike against Corbinian. Gonna be a 21.
That's a hit.
Alright.
I can take a hit, so it'll be alright.
See if I actually roll well for damage. Yeah, there we go. 10 damage.
Oh no.
And he'll swing out again.
Ooh.
That'll do 24.
Yep.
And that'll be 11 damage.
Alright.
And it will raise its shield.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have your shield raised?
I did not.
Okay.
Because I had to, like, move and do stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's the Half Yarn's turn.
Alright. The Half Yarn is going to try to assist Theron as he's getting bogged down with a couple of these skeleton champions. So he is going to strike out at the closest one to him with a... actually, you know what he is going to do? I know the piercing is not doing it, not cutting it here, so he's going to drop his spear with a free action and pulls out his boarding axe.
He's going to take a swing at you.
Oh boy, fun times.
And miss horribly.
Yay!
Oh, thank God.
Huzzah! He was gonna get that either way, because I was gonna try to mark him with the rune anyway. So.
Oh.
So he is going to swing out with a engraving strike with his second action here.
Which weapon? Did you say this was a mace?
This is an axe.
Axe.
I think we determined it was only piercing that it was weak.
Piercing and slashing.
Is it piercing and slashing? Oh, I wouldn't.
Yeah, because they're just
the bony boys.
Oh, all right. I'm not gonna take it back, but I am gonna swing with my shield boss then. Oh, my shield.
Okay.
To do bludgeoning damage instead. So yeah, he swings out with his shield instead. So that's going to be 21 to hit.
That is a hit.
Nice. Alright, that is going to be 5 bludgeoning, 1 vitality, and a thunder rune attached to him. I know I was thinking about immunities here, but and
he takes no damage from that. Let's see, shield blocks.
Dang.
Blocks okay. The whole strike.
Okay.
Boo! Shield to block a shield.
I wonder if that affects if the rune gets placed on him or not, then.
Only if it requires a damage to be dealt.
That's what I'm looking.
Yeah, if it's like poison, because poison has to deal damage, so if you don't get damage, you don't get poisoned. So.
Yeah. I was going to say, on a make a melee strike with your weapon on a success, you trace a rune on the target.
There you go. Rune's there.
Okay, you can trace it.
Okay. Not that it's going to do much, but either way. It every point helps. So, all right, and then I'm going to use my last action to raise my shield and trace a rune on it.
It comes to that skeleton's turn. And he's going to keep swinging at Theron.
Excels.
All right, 27.
That hits.
Ooh.
11 damage.
Okay.
Another swing at Theron. Ooh, another good roll. 23.
That will hit because my shield, I don't think I raised it.
Oh, no.
And that will be 7 damage.
Okay.
And it, too, will raise its shield again. Now it comes to Corbinian.
All right, Skeleton Champion. You got a reaction. Go ahead and take a swing, because I'm doing a 3-action heal.
All right, come on. Critical hit. Critical hit. Come on.
Not today. Critical miss.
Actually, point of order, I did a reactive strike and a shield block with that last skeletal champion, so your damage from your attack would go through. So it does 5 damage to that guy. Sorry.
Oh, and then
roll the vitality.
Vitality. Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
Just remember, I gotta manage my reaction. So how much vitality?
One.
One?
All right. I also, before we get Corvinian's heal, the skeletal champion that I marked with a rune takes one lightning damage. From the root. He didn't move.
Does he take any damage?
Probably not.
I think that's resistance to lightning, cold, and fire,
Yeah, something crazy. Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. Like, you would think, like, bludgeoning, they might be weak against that.
Horrible miss, Corbinian.
Woo! Nice.
All right, so all your skeleton champions are going to have to make me a fortitude save. And everyone else
just gets 16 points of healing.
Oh! All
right.
Barasma ain't about this. She's trying to shut this down.
Skeletal champ at the bottom. 19.
You made it. Half damage for 8 vitality.
That's going to be enough. He did.
Oh, nice. Thank God.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay. Let's go.
Back to the ground with you. Where you belong.
All right. One next to the half yarn. 16.
Bam! Yes. 16 points of vitality.
Hit him.
Dead.
Yes.
Good to have a cleric here.
Uh-huh.
Last guy. Priest. Thank for Esmond.
Yep.
19.
Yeah, half damage, 8 points of vitality.
8 points of vitality. He's still up, though.
What I call a killer turn.
He can't be holding up for too much longer, though.
Yeah, no way.
But he is. Also, Krant moves back into the room and closes the door.
What?
What a loser.
Get back here, you coward!
He's just like, yeah, no. I ain't dealing with that.
Come back here, you bitch!
The skeletal champion holding strong. Going after Theron.
Yeah.
Dutifully. Alright, that'll be 27 again.
That hits.
10 damage.
Yep.
He's gonna swing at you again. No! Natty one.
Yes. Oh, we like that. That's good.
Just wanted one natural 20. Alrighty. He can't take bleed damage, so nothing happens.
Hooray!
Oh. Alright, well.
Just a mess. And it too will raise its shield. Theron, you're up.
Okay. He's gonna swing with the mace. He's gonna roll. That is a 21 to hit.
That's a hit.
21!
That was a hit, right?
That's a hit.
Heard that at the same time, and I was like, wait, what? Damage. 8 points of bludgeoning damage. And
block some of that.
Vitality, since it is enchanted with Prasma's grace. 3 points of vitality damage.
Okay, still up.
Damn. That was first action, was that. Swing again. Why the hell not?
Yep. You can't, like, intimidate a skeleton, so.
As much as I wish.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of anything else, but then I could roll high. Yeah, but I don't know. They're resistant to fire, because I was thinking about getting them to do a reflex, but if I roll low.
They're not immune to frightened.
Are they mindless, though?
It
should be.
Looking at his immunities, doesn't say immune to frightened.
Oh.
Alright, skeletal champion. We all get a little afraid in the dark.
Huh? Well, here you go, Kelly. That was a natural 20.
Oh. Hey, let's go!
24.
Aw, oh, crushed
I mean,
it.
He's probably afraid of a natural 20, though, right, Kel?
He's afraid of a natural 20.
That'd be 14 bludgeoning damage.
Well, he's dead.
Beautiful.
Yes!
Just brings it up, smashes through its head. Ribcage is gone. Like,
shattered into a pile of bones. As the necrotic energy leaves his body, his bones just go flying, his armor clinks to the ground.
Heck yeah.
And at least for now, you guys are seemingly out of combat. The door has closed. The zombie lord has retreated in this room, however.
Let me read a little bit more about it.
So you see this black stone slab where covered in blood, where clearly these rituals have been taking place, where he's been raising the dead here. You see these black flickering candles around this altar. You see a rusty ceremonial dagger laying on the table as well. Around here you see like six or seven alcoves, and in each one there are people. There are hands reaching through these shoddy bars that are locked up, where there's at least like 20 townspeople here.
Oh my god.
Still
gosh.
Alive in these cells.
I'm kind of thinking we would give chase though.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say that too.
Mechanically, he had to move, shut the door, and then he's basically has one move action on us.
Well, Edmund's thinking too is that like if he has like another escape route, I want to make sure that he doesn't get far. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I would like a slap of healing though.
I was gonna get you when it came to my turn, because you only have what, one action left, so all you could do is move to the door, basically.
Yeah, he's gone to move to the door.
Yeah, and so I can move, heal you, and then that would be my turn when it comes around to me.
Yep, that's my turn.
Comes to you, Edmund.
All right, Edmund, you saw the spell go off, but he knows it wasn't going to affect his good friend Theron. I mean, Theron's tough. So he is going to take out his little vine, his little twig that he's going to use that he wants to use as a grasping vine. And he's just going to go running towards the door as well. So I'm going to get up as far as I have plenty of room to get behind Theron. So I'll just go up behind him. And as we run through, I just yell to the people like, "We'll be right back. Don't worry."
Edmund, on the table, as you get closer, you notice that the knife actually looks up, even though it's kind of like rusty and nasty. It looks actually kind of nice.
Oh.
Hmm.
Hold on.
No, wait.
It's a really cool knife.
Oh man. Hey. I only move 50 feet, so could I use my last action to try to identify it?
Sure could, buddy. Like a plus 11?
Plus 11 for Arcana.
Sorry, gotta get the exact thing it is.
Oh, it's got a name.
Soul Dragon Blade of the Skeleton Champion. You kill someone with it, then become a Skeleton Champion instantly.
Whoa.
Flesh off bone. Immediate.
Edmund pockets it really quickly and doesn't tell Corbinian about it.
It is a Dagger of Venom.
Whoa.
Ugh.
Okay.
Sounds nasty.
So as I go running by, I identify it, and I'm just like, and I keep running in that direction, but my head turns as I run, and I'm like, oh, it's a Dagger of Venom up there. but yeah, that's my turn.
Okay. And then it comes to the Half-Yarn's turn.
Okay.
Okay, I thought so. I was about to say, he's not going to open the door, is he? So Half-Yarn will, actually, before he moves, will pick up his spear that he dropped on the ground. So if he needs to throw it at somebody fleeing, he can. And then we'll make his way over up next to Theron to the door. And that'll be turn.
And Corbinian.
Alright, not even joking, someone should get that dagger and take it along with us. Because this is a zombie lord. Zombie lord is weak to slashing. The dagger you can use slashing with. And, this thing's pretty sick. It's pretty sick. So, I feel like GM's kind of trying to throw us a bone, as it were. So we should gobble that baby up. So I have to heal Theron, but Edmund, if you want to grab that knife, I don't know, you might want a grasping vine, or maybe Theron wants to grab it. Somebody should grab it.
Okay, I can. If it comes back to my turn, I can use. Actually, I can use telekinetic hand to grab it, and then I'll just have it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Thought I could click to go. Enter.
Is that a roll 20 feature? Oh,
no, I thought it was a foundry thing. All right, well, I move there, and I get a good old Theron, like right behind him in the midst of everybody, slap him on the butt for 2d8. No, I'm sorry, not 2d8.
I was about to say, healing, what are you doing?
I took healing hands. That's 2d10 plus 16. Oh, did I mention this roll is sponsored by Black Oak Workshop, where dice are treasure.
Black Oak Workshop.
And dice also destroy skellies and heal my buddies. So that is 25 and points of healing.
That brings me the max.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Nice.
Get back into the fight, Theron. We still need your mace yet.
Cracks his neck. Let's go. All right, let's pop this door open.
Aww.
One action. Door is open. Oh, that's right. For some reason, arrow key not working.
You open. You open this door.
I ran into a door.
Oh. You open the door, and up a into a raised area, a couple of steps, it opens into a larger room with wall hanging like sheets and curtains hung around the wall in kind of haphazard ways of all kinds of different colors. You see the bloated corpse of the merchant sitting at a stone chair across from a table on the other side of the room. His skin is just like gross and sickly and like hanging off of his like large frame.
Gross and sickly, and it's hanging off your frame.
Thank you, Theron. he's wearing very fine funeral, like burial clothing, but it's all rotted and gross at this point, covered in blood. He's carrying a massive farming scythe in one hand, and then a tome in the other.
Ugh.
He opens his mouth.
You're too late. My masters created me to end this town, and I have done so. Soon, I shall march north, bring death to all, the service of the Whispering Way. You, four, will be my vanguard. Come, meet your demise, and join me in undeath.
For you, new. Will meet cremation at my hands. And flames will lick in his hands.
Oh!
Unfortunately, can't reach. Unfortunately, so it's really just...
look, you gotta RF arm when you can, buddy.
I am trying. Mm-hmm. I mean, open the door. I'm trying to... move in. Okay, now I can.
Unrestricted movement!
So my first move action would get me. Oh, it keeps bouncing me around. Yeah, but he doesn't want to go up there next to him just to end my turn.
Okay.
Alright. Can I do a knowledge check on him?
Sure can.
My thing is plus 6, religion.
Religion. Okay.
Do we remember what we know from Corbinian's, though?
Oh, wait, did Corbinian already do one?
Yeah, well, you learned that he is a zombie lord, that he's a spellcaster.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we learned anything specific about, like, weaknesses,
right,
etc.
Yeah, okay. Theron doesn't know anything more than what you already know.
Okay. Right.
I'm dumb.
Hey, okay. That's not true.
It's true. He's dumb.
Don't say that about my friend.
I'm uncharismatic, goddammit. As well. I have the negatives to that.
It's back to Edmund.
Alright,
never mind. Sorry. I was like, third action. I was like, yeah, I did that. Okay.
Right.
I was like, Rish. Fuck it. I don't care.
I'm trying to. Really, Tammy had a good point about the knife, but here's the thing. That guy is just within range of Grasping Vine right now, because it's a 60-foot spell.
Dang.
So I could Grasping Vine this dude. Let me double check real quick. If I go from the corner of me all the way to the... Okay, from corner to corner, Kel... It's 60 feet.
Okay.
I think that means it's 60 feet between us, not like... So I might have to move up 5 feet.
I think you're fine.
I might.
I think you're fine.
Okay.
If you want to do it.
Okay. Then I am going to take the twig in my hand, and I will crush it. And out from Edmund's hand, a grasping vine goes all the way down the hallway and up and hits him. I need him to make... Make sure of this. So it's a reflex. It's a reflex save. This very portly man who is also a zombie, I should add, has to make a reflex save.
12.
That's a fail!
Yes!
Okay, so success is you are grabbed until the end of your next turn, unless it escapes. So he'll have to make an escape DC and all this kind of stuff. Failure is target is grabbed until it escapes or destroys the vine, at which point the spell ends. The first time each round I sustain the spell, I can reposition the target that is grabbed up to 5 feet.
Whoa. Okay.
So I can, like, so the, I'm not sustaining it because I just casted it, but, like, I can move this guy around so that way, like, you guys get flanking or something like that. Okay, that was awesome. So that was two actions. I think... Oh, man. That's one. Alright, I think that's all I'm gonna do. Yeah, I think that's all that I can really do here. Yeah, that's it. You know what, actually? I'll try a knowledge anyway, just because I didn't move. Just to see if we can learn anything else.
Yep, he is a zombie lord, and... no, you don't learn anything else.
Okay. Alright, so you see that he's grabbed guys, and you can see he's, like, he's being constricted, like, when Ekans grabs onto something. He's just like,
hurr! Nice.
For the vines, if I attack him with something, does that destroy the vines, or is it he have to target them?
It says that,
If I use my line attack of fire, does that destroy the vines? I'm just curious.
That's a good question. If it's an area, probably. I mean, it's up to Kel, but I would think so. So all that it says is, the curling vine erupts from the ground beneath you and stretches to the target. Oh, I kind of had it where it, like, reached out to him. That's okay. the target is an item. If the target is an item, I can move it up to 10 feet. Blah, blah, blah. The target is a creature, must attempt to reflex save. Target is grabbed. So it says it has to escape or destroy the vine, and the vine has, like, AC 15, 10 hit points. So, at which point the spell ends. So, yeah, I would think with an AoE, it could get destroyed. So, yeah.
Okay.
But for now, he's going to have a hard time casting spells, and we can engage. So.
rehabbed condition.
Pain in the tuchus, that one is.
Alright, well, it comes to his turn, and he doesn't like that he is grabbed by all these vines, so he's gonna swing out with this scythe and try to slice them off.
Unfortunately,
time to cut the grass.
Unfortunately, scythe's really good at cutting grass, so.
Yeah, he's got a farmer's scythe.
Kind of what it's built for.
Yeah.
Natural 20.
Oh my. Yay! What a great thing to waste a nat.
Yeah, at least it wasn't a spell on Theron. So, he cuts this thing off. Get this off of me. And then, with his last action, he's going to... He's gonna cast a spell on Theron.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yep.
So he.
It's coming from undead. Yep. So. Coming
from undead. It's not a undead effect, but it is a spell from an undead.
Yep.
What is it? What does your ability do again? Exactly. What's the text?
Death Warden Dwarf, if you roll a success on a saving throw against an effect that has a void trait or was created by an undead creature, you get a critical success instead.
Oh my god, that's so broken.
It's so
it's like so crazy.
Level
broken.
1.
Kelly, why'd you approve it?
Level 1 ancestry feat.
Wow, that's at level 1?
Yeah. That's my heritage.
We must be reading that wrong. Okay, well, he reaches out his scythe. And a green, sickly ray shoots out of it. And...
Oh, I like that.
18 to hit.
Oh.
Yeah, I rolled horribly. I rolled horribly, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Yes!
I was like, 18? No. Okay.
And that's his turn. Damn. Sucks. Comes to half
Damn,
yarn.
Sucks to suck, Harlow.
Half Yarn is going to make suck. His
He's
way.
Like, why does my magic fail against you?
Because I'm built different.
That's not what I wanted. Oh god, what have I done?
What are you
Powers
doing?
Of death have no effect on me.
I was trying to measure how far away, and I've created the zone thing. My bad.
Shit. Half Yarn's throwing Gal Fireball.
Dang it, I don't have enough movement. I don't think. What was that? Where was I? Right here. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't think I'm close enough. Where's the ruler? There it is. Okay. Sorry. He's the wrong one. Yeah, he's 40 feet. I can't do it through there. Alright, I will. If that's the case.
Are you about to throw your spear?
I can't. That's only got like a 10-foot range on it or something like that. It's not good enough.
I wish minus four to your throw.
Yeah.
Maybe minus 8.
I wish there was a way to use like a spear like an addle, you know, like the little like stick that we would like attach to the back of a spear and like launch it.
Oh no, it's 20 foot. It's 20 feet. We're good.
I think that is an equipment.
It is.
I can go here, which gets me within 20 feet, and I will, yeah, two moves, and I will throw my spear at him.
Yeet.
Alright, let's see how it goes. In response to his statement about us being his vanguard, he says, no, if I die, I know that Pharasma has a hall where we will feast and wait for a battle with entropy. He throws his spear at him. And that's going to be a 24.
And that was with your dex, not your strength?
Hang on. Make sure. I don't think that was my strength.
There should be like a ranged strike on Foundry.
I have all my stuff in Wanderer's Guide because...
Oh, okay.
This is a... different class. So that's actually going to be a... So that's going to be 22 then.
That's it.
Nice.
Woo!
Awesome. All right. So it's going to be 4 points of piercing damage. No, 7 points of piercing damage. 3 points of vitality damage. And a nice little lightning rune attached to the end of it.
Yeah, he doesn't like that vitality damage.
That will be turn.
All right, Corbinian, killer of the undead.
Killer of the undead. Will I grab that sweet dagger, or will I just go right into the fray? So this gets me 25. Oh, so cool. Wait.
Step up on the table, do it. Do it.
Yes!
Jump on the table, jump on the table.
Corbidian is going to rush past Theron. Rush past the half yarn. And as he passes the half yarn, he says, "So we get some feasting hay in for Asma's table. Guess I'll beat you to it there, half yarn." Oh my gosh.
Pitter patter of little feet running at so fast of speed.
Hops on the table. This isn't difficult terrain or anything, right?
Nope.
Okay, excellent. And with my last action, I reach out my hand and I grab him for a heal.
Yes.
Oh, this is incredible.
And he rolls. Oh, poop. Man. 17.
Oh, fail!
Yes.
Oh, you are going to regret that.
That is 13 points of vitality damage.
All right.
Just going balls to the wall.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Wait. Baron, it's your turn.
Okay. Thinking here. Oh, that's what I want to do. Okay, so what Theron's going to do is just blitz up here. Oh, damn it, that's two actions to get next to him. Really obnoxious.
Yeah. Hold on. Oh. What's in your hands?
A mace.
And a shield?
At this point, yeah.
You fall 10 feet into a pit and take 10 damage.
Fuck!
And your hands are full, so you cannot grab the edge.
Fuck!
Oh no!
So you fall 10 feet, take 10 damage, and you are in a 10-foot pit.
Okay. So that would be... I guess in that case, since two actions would have brought me next to him, that would be one action, and then I fell.
Yep.
Okay.
You need two hands to climb.
Yep.
Two hands...
And it's one action to go 5 feet.
Is there...
On a successful, like, athletics check.
Well, you know what he's going to do. It's just that he's like, I don't need these weapons for this. And he just free action drops both, and he just climbs up.
All right, roll athletics.
All right. One of my best skills. 23.
Success. Roll again.
Okay. Do I do math or no?
No.
22 this time.
You are up, and you are in... I guess you could be in the square that you wanted to get to.
Yeah.
Or I mean, if you want to go back a square, you can climb
I'll
out.
I'll go back a square.
Climb out wherever you want to go up.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And that would be all my actions, I'm guessing.
Sure is. Gonna crawl.
Watch out! There's pits!
There's a pit.
This place is the pits.
You had me by like 1 second.
Don't step here!
Edmund, you're up.
Edmund, seeing all the stuff go down, and he looks at all of his friends making cool quotes, and he's like, "No! No, you won't have us! The greatness! A middle management is upon me!" Do, 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 do. And he fires off a three-action force barrage
Yes!
So this is going to be
unload
on him. So this is going to be, yeah, like I said, a three action one. So this is going to be 3d4 plus three. Let me go ahead and roll. Oh my god. Okay. So three. Four. Avenger's not doing all at once. Ah, right. Four. And then three, so 4, 8, 11 points of force damage.
Nice. Spree damage.
Owie. Alright, it comes to Harlow Krantz's turn. And
I'm so scared I'm right in front of him.
It comes to Harlow Krantz's turn, and he unleashes a three-action harm. So all three of you roll fortitude saves.
Oh, boy.
Fortitude?
Okay. Yes, fortitude.
Oh, okay. My fortitude is a plus 11. I'm just like, whatever. Okay.
He said, we do.
Times like this call for special dice. You know? And I brought out the good old Dice-a-Y. I don't know if it's enough, though.
What was your fortitude?
20.
That is a fail.
Oh!
23.
That's a success. Happy Iron?
26!
That's a success. So, Corbinian will take 7 damage. You guys will take 3.
Oh, okay.
I will take. Because that's void damage, isn't it?
Void damage.
It does nothing.
Nothing to you.
Oh my gosh.
That's his turn, but. This door opens up, or this curtain falls, and two shamblers emerge out and come at Theron.
Oh my god.
Oh, come on.
Yep. Zombos come on out. Let's see. So the first one goes to punch ya.
Point of order. Point of order.
Yep.
Harlow takes 1 point of electric damage.
Should have moved, Harlow. That'll teach you.
Yeah, he's dead.
I just imagine it's the same amount of damage that an actual taser would do to someone, where it's like, ah, damn it.
All right.
It's like, I'm undead. That still hurts.
All right, you get it punches you for a 25.
That is
alright. You take 10 damage and roll a fortitude save.
Dang.
Damn. That hurts.
I forgot how hard they hit.
That's a 20 for dude.
Okay. And the second one attack goes to punch you. 22 to hit.
Yeah, with no shield that hits.
Your shield's at the bottom of a pit.
Yup.
You'll take 7 damage and roll a fortitude save.
Okay. Too worried about. Damn it. Of course, 28, whatever.
Alright.
Had me.
This guy to the thing. And it is the half yard's turn.
Decisions. First thing, would it be an action to seek to see if there's a hole on the other side of this table as well?
Yep.
thinking ahead.
I just have to assume that it's in this square right here, right? Like, it's gotta be. I'm thinking about trying to make a beeline across the table. Dang it, I did it again. Where's the ruler? I can, for whatever reason, the ruler disappears from here. I can't see it. There. I want to move to there. Can I do that by kind of skimming along the edge of the table and avoiding this square here, Kel?
You want to what?
I want to avoid this square, because this square is most definitely booby-trapped based on what I've just seen. I'm almost certain of it.
If you want to
I'm asking if I could...
If you want to get to this square, you will have to balance on the table. So you will have to roll an acrobatics check to make it into that square without touching. Without touching the square you don't like.
Listen, just kick the table into his face. It'll be really funny.
The table is 6,000 pounds.
The table.
It's a sturdy, sturdy table.
Corpinian weighs so much.
It's hand it's mahogany.
I'm all not right. gonna kick that table. It's hand carved mahogany. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Instead of, I want to get behind him.
Why don't you just go around the, like, can you go around the chest? Like, go straight north and then cut across?
I mean, that's probably going to be the safer bet, but then I'm going to have to use two actions to get there, which I'd prefer not to do.
I mean, do you want to fall down in a pit?
No! It's making me think about just fighting this guy.
Kelly has such a good poker face that there is like a 90% chance that it's just a regular square.
I know.
And he's just watching us deliberate over this one square.
The door all over again.
Dude. Pits and doors will scare us more than any zombie will.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to move to help Theron.
Oh wow, you're just like, I'm not even worrying about that.
So afraid of that side of the room.
Okay.
Right. Live your truth.
That's what I'm gonna do. Far be from me.
Final answer, I'm gonna seek for a hole.
Okay.
I'm gonna seek for the hole.
What's your perception? What's your perception?
That's right. Perception is 7.
Hey, guys.
That's what
guys,
she said.
Don't we all?
Alright, you survey the area. It looks like sturdy ground to you.
Fuck it, we ball. I'm gonna go for it and try to flank him. Alright. Against my better judgment.
So you walk through the square is what you're saying.
I'm gonna do my act. God, I don't know. Yeah. I don't trust anything. I'm afraid of everything.
It looks good to you.
Okay, I'm just gonna go for it.
You fall 10 feet. You fall 10 feet in the hole.
No, you're kidding.
Damn it!
You're kidding.
Oh my god! Wait, no, wait! Grab the ledge. I don't have a hold of my spear. I threw it.
I think you need two hands to grab the edge.
I thought you just need
let
one.
Let me see.
I think it's just one.
If it's one hand or two hands.
Yeah. What does grab an edge say? Because that's what it. Yeah.
So I know climb needs two hands. Let me see if grab an edge needs two hands. Your hands are not tied behind your back or otherwise restrained. That's not helpful.
Wait. Does it say hand or hands?
It says your hands are not like tied behind your back or otherwise restrained. All right. Here's what I'll do. If you have one hand free, I will make the DC harder. How's that sound?
Okay, what am I rolling? Acrobatics?
You're rolling a reflex.
Hold on. If you look under the success conditions, if success is if you have at least one hand free, you grab the edge and stop your fall.
Okay, then sure.
If you have no hand freeze, you continue to fall. Da, 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 da. So make the roll first, and then we figure
good
out.
Good catch. That's why you read the whole... That's why you read everything.
Yeah.
Natural
20.
Read it all.
Oh.
Hey.
You're hanging. Right, you're hanging... you're hanging from the edge.
But guess what? With the crit success, you don't even have to have a hand free. It says whether or not you have a hand free.
Wow.
How does that work?
Because you could catch a ledge with like a battle axe or something sick like that.
I was thinking.
Go ahead.
I was thinking like your feet grab it like. Wrap your legs around like a tree, like a tree
I'm
branch
mad
or something.
I didn't just go for the acrobatics now, and would have gotten that 20. All
right, well, you are hanging in this hole. You don't take damage, and you just need to spend an action to pull yourself up.
I'm just gonna pull my ass out now. All right, then I'm here, right? Or am I still?
You can pull up into any square you want.
Okay.
Adjacent to that hole.
All right. Then I'm just gonna pull up here. That's two actions. I'm gonna try to hit him with my shield. No, I'm not. I'm going to trace a rune on my shield and raise it. And that's gonna be my turn.
Amazing.
So close. Longest turn to fall in a hole.
Yeah.
All right. It comes to Corbinian. Vitalized.
You already know what I'm gonna do. Everybody roll those fortitude saves because we got one last triple action heal. Come on. Everybody fail.
Everybody fail now.
24 for Cramp.
So half damage.
Zombos. 15.
Fail.
15.
Oh. Fail. Are you ready for this? 2 points of damage.
Sorry, zombos take some special extra damage.
Yeah. But everyone else gets to get healed for 2 damage.
Oh, wonderful.
Hey, I'm almost back up to full.
I knew you guys needed it.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Just a little bit.
Went from 37 to 39.
Worst rolls ever.
Is it snake eyes?
2 ones.
Snake eyes.
That is the problem with doing the 3 action, though, is that whenever you roll, that's it. There's no bonuses. There's no pluses.
But you get the heal, too.
I know. Yeah. That is why it's balanced. That's why the no bonus is balanced.
And it is Theron's turn.
Okay. So, with his hands free... The zombie that just punched him, he's going to grab this zombie, or he's going to make an attempt. So he's going to roll an athletics check. 27 athletics check for grabbing.
Is it 27?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a critical success. It's restrained.
Yeah. And he's going to reposition it into the hole.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Right,
how you like it.
Roll another athletics check with the map.
That's perfect because of 19 on the die. So 19 plus 5, so it'd be 24. Yep.
My God, it's there with a suplex!
So it's not restrained anymore, but it's at the bottom of a pit.
Yep. I don't think it's smart,
bastard.
My God! Yeah.
And, shit.
It takes some damage, right? Yeah.
So, map. Oh, God. I'm trying to think here. Hold on. Because I'm like, I got one action left. He's going to move back. God, is there another goddamn pit? There's pits all over the shop. He's going to move here. As his final action. He's going to take a step, move back. That way it has to burn an action to go after him.
All right.
And his turn's done.
Great turn. Edmund, you're up. What are you doing from way downtown?
I know. Way, way down here. All right, so I have just enough speed.
To grab the dagger and...
That's really great that you think that.
The dagger... Don't know if it's going to do jack shit, honestly, but...
Okay, but I
then throw the dagger into the back of Corbin.
You know that's going to happen, and here's what I'm going to do differently. I have enough to get up to fucking door, dude. All right, this door has halted every one of us.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, listeners. The door is in the middle of two squares, and so because of that, we can't just walk directly through it. We have to like sidestep and sidle through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our tokens do not know what to do. Anyway, I'm going to get up behind Corbinian, and I'm going to hit him with a blur.
Nice. Oh.
Because I know this guy's going to be coming after you. He can't leave you alone, so I'm going to hit you with a blur.
Wait, how'd you move that far and cast a two-action spell?
Oh, shit. Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry, there's two-action. Fuck.
Magic.
No. We don't have to ask these questions, Kelly.
I mean, I feel like I kind of do.
He's like, oh, it's my fucking job?
I used my ability, a wizard arrives precisely when he
needs to.
There you go.
I like that. Okay, all right. I'm going to... Okay. Where's the... 25 feet would have been, I think, here. Okay, right 25 here. Feet is right there. Okay, that's fine. All right, I'm going to... I can't really stand there, but... Okay, thank you. All right. from that hallway that I'm in, I'm going to hit those two zombies with blazing bolts.
Well, one's in a pit.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't have to be able to target
it. Well, I can hit... the one that's not in the pit, and then I'll hit Harlow. Why not? All right, two attacks against... so it's a two-action thing here. So first one will be going against the zombie for a 12. Awesome.
Yes.
Sorry, is that a hit?
Miss.
Oh, miss, okay. And then the other one will be going against Harlow. Come on.
Come on,
Barbara. Oh, 22.
That's it.
Okay. Damage coming out from this is 4d6 fire damage.
Ooh.
For 12 points of fire.
Owie.
All right. But that was all three actions. So.
All right. It comes to Harlow Grant. And he, let's see, draw something. Need to draw a thing.
Cones, emanations,
bursts,
lines, bursts.
I prefer not a line because I'm effectively behind Corbinian in a line.
Uh-huh.
30 feet away from him.
I mean, I've got some distance.
Who's drawing this?
No, that's me. Okay. That's me.
We all saw a line get drawn and went, oh no.
Yeah.
That's not the right color blue.
Oh, sick. So I get all of you.
Oh my god.
In a 20-foot emanation, the room, as Harlow Krant raises his scythe and tome, his necrotic energy rises from the ground as he casts Sudden Blight on the area.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one.
And all
one.
Of you must roll a fortitude save.
No.
Fortitude save for the win. Yay. 24.
All right, you're fine. All right.
I will never fail these.
I'm using my black and gold, my black and gold Elvish dice. This was the inspiration for the DPS logo, okay? It's black and gold, okay?
Aww.
And Star Wars, of course, but... Okay. Alright.
What'd you get?
What did I get?
Yep.
That was a 25, dude.
Wow.
Success.
19 on the die, bro.
Corbidian got himself a 24.
Success. Half yarn?
Come on, half yarn.
I got 24 as well.
Alright, you all succeeded, and you only take half of this damage except for the cheater.
Except for the cheater.
When I made my character, I saw you didn't say anything about Death Wardendorf not being allowed. So
on 2d10, I rolled a 10 and an 8. So 9 damage for each of you.
True.
Because it's void damage.
That would
have
been a great spell if you failed.
That would have taken us out. At least pretty close to
taking me out. I'll take 9 damage, and he is also going to
jump in the pit.
He's going to tap himself up for some healing. He casts harm on himself with one action.
Wait, that's illegal. He can heal.
Well, thankfully he doesn't get the bonus for the two actions. So.
Does he have healing?
Just a little tippy tap.
Does he have healing?
Right. Does he? Right.
All right. Pit zombie is gonna spend two actions.
Wait. Hold on. Point of order.
Give me my lightning damage.
He takes three lightning damage.
Yes.
He's getting tased.
Alright, zombie crawls out into the square. And that's its turn. The other zombie walks up to you and...
See?
No reason the zombie can't go into flanking. It's gonna stumble into that one. It's gonna flank because it wants to.
Ain't nothing to the rules that says a zombie can't flank.
You can walk into either of those squares. They're both equally viable. that's a good roll. 26. It's flat-footed. Off guard.
Still not a crit.
Not a crit, but I'll take the damage. 8 bludgeoning damage. Roll a fortitude save.
Yeah.
I'm going to fail one of these fortitude saves eventually.
18.
Okay.
I'd like to remind people that they have a lesser healing potion.
Yes.
Because I am out of heals.
Also, I'm assuming that zombie made both of those athletic checks to get out of that pit?
It did.
Damn.
They're pretty good athletics, actually.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They're 100% muscle all the time.
Yeah.
And I actually rolled well on both. The second roll was a natural 20, so it got out with one action, technically.
It wanted a snap.
It does a flip? What the fuck?
Alright, and it comes to the Half-Yarn's turn.
Alright, the Half-Yarn. Question about the Blight. Is that a lasting effect, or is that... Like, should I be getting out of that, or is that just a single-turn spell? Like, did it affect us all and then recede, or is it still... Does it seem like it's trucking on?
It seems like just something that happened. The ground is blighted, and it looks bad, but there's not, like, ongoing, like, negative energy in the area.
Your emanation was still there, and I was concerned that I needed to get out.
Oh.
but if I don't, I will, I'm going to go ahead and do a few things here. First thing I'm going to do is invoke the runes that I have cast right now. So the first thing that's going to happen is the lightning rune is going to draw a lightning bolt down from the sky to strike him, so he'll need to roll a fortitude save.
Ugh, natural 1.
Oh, yes! Yeah.
Love it.
Heck yeah.
And as this happens, Half-Yarn looks this undead menace in the eyes and says... before he reaches there, casts his or invokes his runes, and he says, "You will not look at them any longer. You will only face me." And then he'll take 6 points of electric damage, and he'll then invoke his second rune on his shield. The Olenex rune
crit fit.
It was a crit fail, so it was 12 points of lightning.
Okay,
damn.
For the damage, I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm excited for this part here. I get to knock down all my dominoes now. this rune that he cast on his shield last round was the Olenex Rune of Coward's Bane, which gives him a +1 status bonus against physical and ranged attacks. But when you invoke it, the rune creates an illusion in the minds of all creatures adjacent to the rune bearer that lasts for one round. This illusion is a large, impassable wall blocking all paths away from the rune bearer. The creature affected by this invocation cannot willingly move further away from the rune bearer for one round or until they disbelieve the illusion or use the seek action against you against your class DC. So he's trying to basically close this guy in and have him only focus on him at this point by using that.
Read it one more time to me.
That's just Yeah, it's mainly to keep him from getting away, but it's an illusion of a large, impassable wall blocking all paths away from the rune bearer. The creature affected by this invocation can't willingly move further away from the rune bearer for one round or until they disbelieve the illusion, usually by using a seek action against your class DC.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it's one that I've had in my pocket for a while. I think I used it pretty early on in our game, but I'm excited to use it again to try to keep this guy from worrying about everybody else. I'm trying to get him to lock in on him right here. And then he is going to strike out with his shield boss to try to print another one here for in this turn. So, shield boss strike is going to be 20 to hit.
Hit.
Right. That's going to be 6 bludgeoning, 2 vitality, and a rune printed on him. And then he's going to raise his shield with his last action, draw a rune on it again.
Okay. Phew, Corbinian.
Alright, so I have concerns that if I attack Harlow, it might give Kelly cause to be like, oh, I'll disbelieve the illusion. So I think I'm going to play it safe, and I think I'm going to go ahead and attack the plague zombie directly south of me. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to lash out with Pharasma's Vitality. So go ahead and give me a little fortitude save. As I roll from sweet Black Oak Workshop dice that are certainly going to destroy 8. You.
Crit fail.
Oh, did you say 8? Did you say crit fail?
The number's so small.
Oh, wow, I could not. I actually could have rolled better, but not much better, let me say. Well, that's a 6. That's a 5. 11.
28 points of vitality.
What? Damage.
28 points.
28.
Oh my god!
It evaporates.
Oh! Shaboo!
Dead.
Yeah. Alright, my next action was I was gonna slash out at it, but I killed it. So, instead, sorry, I really don't want to break the illusion. I think Theron can hold on. So I am going to, he's going to flex, go, and he's going to vasodilate. Just blood just starts pouring out of an open wound somewhere. And he's going to do first aid on himself, or for battle medicine.
So gross.
I take a damage, but I get an extra +1 on this medicine check. Weird. Hey, look at that. And I crit succeeded, so I'll figure that out later, but I get some hit points.
All right, it comes to Theron's turn.
Did you say we had a lesser potion?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it should be like 2d8 plus 5, I think.
Little guy, but it comes in clutch.
Yeah, definitely he is going to chug. Take one action to pull one out, action to chug. So 2d8... Okay, so what's 8 plus 5? It's 13, right? Plus 5?
Yep.
Oh god, 18. 18! I swear, it's 18. Okay, yep. Math. My god. I am very tired.
Okay.
Cool, I'm back over half. My god.
Heck yeah.
Oh my god, I was worried for a moment. But he's just gonna turn around and punch this zombie in the face with his rock fist.
Yeah, rock fist!
Because, why not? I set the bases at the bottom of the fist.
Yeah.
I'm not getting that anytime soon. Well, Harlow isn't, He's not having any fire around him. Impulse attack. That is a 27 to hit the zombie.
Crit.
Oh, that's whoa. Crit.
Nice. Yes.
That was an 18 on the die on that one.
Dang.
So 1d8. Unfortunately, it doesn't get any bonuses. It really sucks. Ugh. So that'd be 4 points of total damage. That was a 2.
Hey, wait. Vitality.
This is my spells.
Oh, it's a spell.
Yeah, no. No,
I thought it was an unarmed strike.
No, this is my kinetic stuff.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's like the one. Yeah, it's the one weird exception to it, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah.
So, only 4 points of damage.
Alright, Edmund.
That's it.
No.
Alright. You guys are annoying me, because none of you are positioning yourselves so I can get any of these guys in a cone.
yeah. This is very anti-cone
thing here. Almost a flank train, but no cones available. So I think... Seeing that Half-Yarn is like one-on-one-ing this guy, I think I'm going to take the lead from these two, from the other two, and I'm going to use a telekinetic projectile on the last zombie.
I can't quite see it,
so I think I got to move a little bit, but okay. All right, and then striking out at it.
Yeah, grab that little venom knife thing. Toss that at it.
Kel, can I pull it from the other room like a Jedi?
No.
Damn.
It's 60 feet of range away from him.
Straight up Magneto, man.
I know. Okay, so 15 on the die for a 24 to hit.
Crit.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
Okay. What did I grab that was around there, Kill?
Rock.
Bludgeoning, piercing, or slash?
Rock.
You're in a cave. Yeah. Is it a pointy? Did I grab a stalagmite or a stalactite?
Nope.
All right.
Last time you had him roll.
That's true. All right. Roll damage. It's all good.
No, I meant that.
Oh my god! 14 points of bludgeoning damage.
It's only weak in a slashing, and you're not going to find a slashing rock. You might find a pointy rock, but. Bludgeoning and piercing aren't going to be... All right, there's no difference.
Is there any arrowheads, like, you know, the
actually,
from, like, ancient peoples?
No.
Okay.
Conversation is over. Understood.
What was the damage?
Okay. 14 points of bludgeoning damage.
Was that doubled?
Was that doubled?
Oh, that was not doubled. Sorry. So, 28...
Rocks fall, zombie dies.
Yep.
Okay. Ow. Not doing well.
Okay.
That's your turn, right?
Yes, that is all.
It comes to Harlow Krant's turn, and you see him raise his scythe up, and the soul of the dead zombie, like, leaves its body and enters the scythe.
Oh.
Oh no.
Excuse
We're
me.
We're making him stronger.
Is that a target? You have to see the target to do that? Do you have to have line of sight for that target to target that soul?
It is a reaction and it pulls it out of the vapors in the air. Yes.
Jesus.
So.
Do you have to target those vapors in sight?
So he's gonna swing out of sight at you.
Here we go.
For a 26 to hit.
That will hit. Oh, right. No. It's okay. This is what
He's
I'm built for.
A zombie soul at you, sir.
This is what I was built for.
Zombie charged scythe. So you're going to take some extra void damage here.
Okay.
Oh. All right. That will be another one of void. Alright, so that's going to be 5 void damage and 13 slashing.
Okay. Whoa. So 14 goes through. My shield takes 4 points of it and damages the shield.
Ugh.
And then?
Okay.
So, if he attacks you, does the illusion fall?
No, it lasts until the end of my turn.
End of your turn.
I think. Let me double check. I believe it's the end of my turn. Yeah.
Because it said to either until either just disbelieves the illusion or until the end of your turn. That's what it was. For one round.
Let me see. Last one round. So from when I cast it, so my turn.
Okay. And then he drops his tome, reaches into his robes, pops a potion cork, sucks it down, and he disappears.
Oh my god.
Mother of God.
Should be in the same spot.
Dang.
It is now the zombie's turn, and it is
good. Wait, point of order. Well, I don't know if he's still there or not, but if he is there, hypothetically, if the zombie lord is still there, he takes 3 points of electric damage.
Yes!
You'll never know.
I'll never know. The smell of ozone.
Baron, you... 21 to hit?
That does hit.
Alright. 6 damage and a fortitude save.
23.
Okie dokie. And it's going to use its second action to grab you. You're grabbed.
Yeah. Not restrained. So I can still attack back, right?
Yes, you were just restrained. Or you were just grabbed. And it is the Half-Yarn's turn.
He raises his shield and screams at the top of his lungs, "Face me, you coward!" and invokes his thunder rune of Ranshu. If the rune is still attached to him, the 2 snakes of lightning strike down on him. He needs to roll a fortitude save. That's a success. So he's going to take 4 points of lightning damage.
I just love everything about this. He had 4 hit points
left. Yes!
Oh my god.
No freaking way. He
kills the boss.
No.
Oh my
freaking
god.
Way.
4 hit points.
Amazing.
Amazing. While still invisible, you hear just grr, 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 and then thud right in front of you.
Oh my god. So he was still in the same spot.
Yeah, he was still in the same spot.
Oh, beautiful.
he couldn't leave. He couldn't leave the spot until the end of Jed's turn.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh! Wait, how far am I? So he goes down, knowing that he can't see him. I can do it. I only used 1 action. I'm gonna turn to the zombie, and I've rarely had to use this, but since I'm at range, I can trace a rune with 2 actions up to 30 feet away from me.
No way.
Yeah. So I will, with 2 actions, trace another rune of thunder. Ranshu's yes. Rune of thunder on the other zombie. And that will be my turn.
Does it have to roll something?
No, this is the one thing that I feel like it's a little broken, but like tracing runes, like obviously you want to get the extra damage for striking them and stuff, but like the trace, I'll read it from the playtest. If you spend 2 actions to trace a rune, you draw the rune in the air and it appears on the target within 30 feet.
Fantastic.
Just happens.
Just happens.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Corbinian, yeah, so. Waste this motherfucker.
Oh yeah, Corbina's gonna hop off the table, get right up into touch with it, and I'm gonna cast Flens on you. I wanted to use it on Harlow, but I have to settle for this dang plague zombie.
Rip its flesh
off.
So
I rolled 19 on the die. So that's gonna be a crit. And I'm probably gonna waste this for 4d6 slashing damage. Oh yeah, that's a 5, that's a 3, 6, 11, 14, 28 points of slashing damage.
You cover yourself in Theron and just viscera and plague zombie guts.
Oh yeah, and guess what? It says if this spell's damage destroys the target, only its bare bones remain.
That's so cool. Wow. Gore and bones.
Wow. Oh wow.
You took Harlow from me, half yard. I'll have to settle for this instead. And he reaches down. You just see all the viscera splash everywhere.
Theron just turns around, just covered in blood. That was unnecessary.
Just had to get your power spell off. All
right.
It had 8 hit points left.
Didn't we crit that thing like 3 times?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the second or third crit on it.
And you have done it. You have destroyed Harlow Krant, the zombie lord. Now, it's still unclear how many zombies remain in the town, but for now, the primary threat, the source of the zombies, has been destroyed. And in this room, you find a number of things.
What's in the chest?
There is a chest off to the corner, and on the table, underneath a footprint of Corbinian's boot, there is a letter that you were standing on, sir. What do you guys want first, the chest or the letter? Let's give you the chest. Chest is fun.
Chest is fun.
Yeah.
Also, I want Edmund to use telekinetic or mage hand to bring my items up from the bottom of that.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
To retrieve your items.
Yay.
Halfyarn kicks open the chest, and inside you find a wand, a good-looking sword, a staff, a mask, and a couple of arrows. And upon inspection, Edmund can identify all of these pretty quickly.
Sweet.
And so can Corbinian. Corbinian, you recognize the wand as a wand of heal, first level.
Nice.
Half Yarn, you recognize the longsword as a +1 longsword.
Yeah.
Edmund, the mask is a persona mask.
Oh, okay.
The arrows are... there's 2 sleep arrows.
Oh,
okay.
And a staff of fire.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that is sick.
Oh, hell yeah.
Don't tell management. Don't tell upper management.
Yeah, seriously.
No, he's going to brag. What are you fucking talking about?
Yeah, killed a zombie lord for it. Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, but then you got the Adventurers Guild tax that they're going to hit you with, and suddenly that staff just gets
passed around. No. Listen, there's a loophole that I know here. I'll teach you all about it.
Where I come from, you take what you kill.
Die.
On the table, you find actually 3 letters, but they all say the same thing, but they're addressed to 3 different people. They all say the town has been eradicated. The bodies have been risen. And I am ready for my next orders.
Oh no.
My plan is to march to the north, taking town and village and farmhouse one by one until I reach Trunau. But I will await your orders. The letters are addressing someone named Velfram, Hornath, and Iorna Grenz. But sadly, he did not finish addressing the letters to where they were going.
I mean, having a name is big, at least.
Oh yeah,
but damn.
And you said there was a letter under my boot or something.
You were standing on the letters on the table. They were on the table.
Gotcha.
And then like they have a sign off that says "Long live the Whispering Way."
XOXO.
So I mean, with my knowledge of Lastwall and with Corbinian's knowledge of, you know, all things undead, I mean, do these names ring anything? Obviously this is huge for us. Like we know what this is all about, but can we...
Yeah, are they famous in the Spring Way?
The only name that
I do have lore cult.
What's your lore cult?
+6.
And I have Lord Lastwall, if that's somewhat relevant.
What's yours?
Plus 9.
Okay.
Velfram and Hornath don't ring any bells. But Iorna Grenz, it sounds familiar to you. It's the name of somebody who... Actually, Edmund knows this, not Corbinian. But it's a name that you would know that the Knights of Lastwall have spoken about in the past as a threat. You don't really know much more than that, but you've heard Knights of Lastwall discuss this particular threat as a necromancer.
Oh, the Knights of Lastwall. I read manuscripts. I don't know much about it, but this was a threat in some capacity here. We have to let somebody know if this person's active. I don't know if the Knights of Lastwall are aware that they're even around.
Finish. Need to finish up here. Clear the rest of the dead from the town. And then track down these necromancers and take them out.
Yeah.
Was there anything on Harlan?
He had a bag of holding that contains 2 doses of arsenic.
Whoa!
Okay. He drank his potion. He drank his potion of invisibility. Sadly. And then he has his scythe.
What was that tome he was using?
It's like a book of necromancy. It has like the raised dead rituals in it, and it has has a lot of instructions for raising all sorts of different types of zombies.
Yeah, which he had a whole bunch of different ones. So he was loving that book.
Yeah, so it has ritual instructions for raising skeletons, lots of different kinds of zombies, how to like organize the zombies, and it does count as a raised dead ritual.
Oh man, imagine if Edmund could do that, and then he could get all of his lower work done and just have him on menial tasks. Just be like, hey, sort these papers.
If somebody ever came to his apartment, there'd just be skeletons doing dishes.
He's like, I call it AI, artificial interns.
Look, I don't even have to pay them.
Look, it's great. They just do what you say. They don't argue.
Except terribly.
They're not good at it. It's really bad. I have to reprimand them constantly.
And basically redo all the work.
One of them comes up to you and like holds up a really poorly drawn picture where the hands, there's the forearms on a person.
Oh yeah. And they go, bad, no, bad. Do it again.
One starts seeing you as its father.
Yes.
No, detach yourself. No emotional attachments. All right. Is there a key to the cells that were out here? Obviously, we got to go out.
Yeah.
And help these people. Whoever
you find a key on Harlow. Also, okay. the locks are pretty simple. They're easy to either smash or easily pick. Nice. You start opening. The people start pouring out. They're hungry. They're beat up. They're terrified. And you guys instruct them to start heading back the way you came. And then in one of the cells, you see a halfling woman, and she's holding the spell book. It is Jakra. And she's like, thank you all for saving us. I didn't know how much longer we would last. I guess my whole letter didn't get to you, but thank goodness it didn't. We were able to save what's left of our town. Are there more zombies in the town or up above in the tunnels?
They attacked us last night. but we fended them off as best we could. There's probably still some around, but we can create a makeshift shelter for everyone for now inside the pick and pike. No, not the pick and pike. Where were we staying?
Moreland's Yard.
Thank you.
We need to leave. This town needs. We should burn this town and go. There's nothing worth saving here. We should set this town ablaze and leave. No one should return. This is...
Are we sure this is everyone? We met a halfling girl earlier. We need to find her before we leave.
Then we should do it immediately. There are more down here. And he may not be leading them anymore, but they will come. We need to leave. We must get back to Chu now. We must alert the town that the blight from the Gravelands is spreading.
All right. Tell your people to head to Warland's Yard. We have provisions there for the journey.
Very well.
So unless you guys have anything else you want to do down here, you guys head back up the way you came.
So I'm going to grab the poison dagger.
I don't want it anymore. God, I'm just on.
Like, get all this blood off of it. Jeez.
No. Theron will go last, but what he's probably going to do is collapse this part of the cave.
Cool.
Yeah.
At this point, there's nothing left to save you. And at the cave entrances and different spots, he's just going to rearrange the structure of the stone so it just starts crumbling and then just fills in, and he'll just keep doing that over and over again. I mean, he basically has the spell to cause tremors, like mini earthquakes.
Oh, yeah, so. You're perfect for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's reasonable to think without an intelligent leader that these zombies might just be trapped down here. And it's reasonable for you all to think that if you do seal off all of the holes, there's a good chance that you might just quarantine this cave and then set the town ablaze so nobody comes back, and you can mark this as done.
Wow.
But Jokra's like insistent, like there's no resettlement in this town right now.
Makes sense. I mean, all it takes is someone to get bit and
starts all over again.
Yep.
Zombie plagues over, bitch.
So you get the town members up, you patch them up, get them some food, pack some bags. It's the 3-day trek back to Trunau. The skies are clear, and you guys can traverse the valley pass. Jokra and you guys set the town on fire. You light each house on fire and leave the town. So one by one, the town just fills with smoke and ash. You guys ascend the valley and you guys get to the top, and the town is just a waft of black smoke, crumbling buildings as you hear the pick and pint collapse under the fire's destruction. And you see Jokra looking out to the east. And as you follow her gaze, you just notice something that you didn't notice when you were here, when you were coming here because of the rain. But there's just a gray line. The entire expanse of the horizon to the east. Just off, like, you can barely see it, but the land is just gray.
Oh, wow.
And is dead as the blight from the Gravelands is creeping further and further. And that's the end.
This isn't over.
End of March of the Dead.
Wow.
Yes.
Gil?
Bravo.
Thanks, guys.
Well done.
This is fun.
Well done.
Oh, well done.
Man.
Do you level up?
And you level good. Up! And we level up!
Level 4!
Oh my gosh.
Maybe one day we'll continue the march. Fine.
Track down the track down the other necromancers.
Yeah.
I was about to say, there's an is it an AP or is it a
It's just a story seed. So it's basically if we wanted to continue this adventure, there is background for each of these necromancers on where they have gone and what they're doing.
That's so cool. Yeah, I love it.
It is
very cool.
Maybe we'll make it a yearly thing around Halloween. That'd be kind of fun.
I'm in.
Go spooky. Do a little track down the necromancers.
Ooh, for the next few years, we got a necromancer to track down. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Then the camera pans to that one girl, and she turns around and gives us like an evil smile.
As the cat like transforms into another being.
Well, thank you all for listening for our little intermission away from Age of Ashes. Thank you, Jed, for stepping in, being our next part, fourth party member. And this was a ton of fun. And the next time we see you,
thank you for having me. Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, Jed. Next time we see you, it'll be Age of Ashes once again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Take care.
Hey there, everybody. Jake the GM here. Here to talk about something that just fills you up. So, what really hits the spot, especially this time of year with Thanksgiving? And the best way to do that is with some new dice. Head on over to MistyMountainGaming.com for their new set of multifaceted dice. They have some of the best glass and stone dice that I've ever seen in this new set. They're not your regular dice shape. They have this beautiful architecture to their entire shape. Go check them out over at MistyMountainGaming.com. Make sure to use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout for an extra 10% off your next order. And we will see you in the next episode.